Hello and welcome to the Ship.Energy podcast. Here's Mark Williams broadcasting to you from sunny Cambridge in the UK. The day after we had apocalyptic rain, which was turned red by dust from the Sahara. So the world just seems to be getting weirder in 2022 by the day. The good news is we don't have anything weird for you on this episode of the podcast. What we have is a real world expert in his field. My guest today is Marcus Scherer. He's currently General Manager of Technical Services at Shell, at Shell Marine in particular, where he spearheads their intelligent monitoring services with pioneering market innovations, about which we shall soon hear. Marcus is a seasoned veteran in the maritime industry. He has over 25 years' experience, spanning from his days as a ship chandler to overseeing Shell's sales, marketing, and technical teams since he joined that company in 1997. Marcus is currently based in Hamburg in Germany. He's married to Birgit, and he thoroughly enjoys cooking in his free time. So we have a chef with us today. He's going to cook up some fascinating words for us, I'm sure. This cooking passion stems from his training in hospitality at the École Hôtelière de Lausanne. So Marcus, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you on.
Hi. Thanks, Mark. And thanks for having me.
Great. You're very welcome. Great to have you here. So, Marcus, tell us about these pioneering market innovations, if you would.
Yeah, thanks. Well, the pioneering started years back, and we realized that there's a big need to monitor what happens in two-stroke engines mainly. It started with the upcoming low sulfur fuels and the low sulfur challenges, so really years back, and all this has been done on Excel. And we realized that the challenges are managed by a lot of pictures flying around, a lot of Excel spreadsheets flying around, but never a really structured and clear and consolidated capturing of data in a very, very, very digital way. Mm-hmm. So this has developed over the years. What really triggered then the push, and we invested in the last 2.5 years a lot of brain power. We co-created that with customers. We went on ships. We tried to find out what the challenges are. And IMO 2020 showed us with the new fuel coming on stream that some of the old things disappeared or became less, which is scuffing or coal corrosion and all these things. Mm-hmm. And suddenly we see other things coming up like deposits and other challenges. So we really worked over the last 3 years to enhance the tool, enhance the abilities. And what we did during COVID times and pandemic, we realized that unfortunately in a time where visual inspections and scavenge port inspections of the engine become increasingly important and the ability of people to go on board decreased tremendously. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we co-created and developed a monitoring tool, and it's app-based, but you can use it as a desktop solution as well, allowing the crew to do a scavenge port inspection as if a Shell expert would stand next to them in terms of defining the steps, giving examples what need to be measured, how it gets measured, examples how to take a picture. And meanwhile, we have far over 1,000 inspection reports captured in our tool. What is the benefit of this? It is, I think, a unique tool where you have in one place your onboard measurements and base number measurements and all these kind of stuff, where you have the onboard samples where you measure and you give data into the tool. If you are within the range, this data get measured, get benchmarked against over 40 profiles depending your engine. Within seconds, you get an information if you are within the parameters, or within 12 hours, you get a feedback from a technical expert that you need to do something on your engine. On the other hand, we combine the samples as recommended by OEMs. There's the requirement to frequently sample your cylinders and your drain oil. We combine this with that data and showcase, and on top, you can look into the pictures and you have all this in one place. So that's in a nutshell what we offer to our customer, which is really a holistic view on what happens in your two-stroke engine using modern technology, compare it with artificial intelligence and profiles, show trend lines. You can even compare your fleet. You can compare three ships. You have a holistic overview over your fleet. So I think that's the state-of-the-art tool, how to manage and monitor two-stroke engines nowadays.
Thank you for that. That's really interesting that this grew out of IMO 2020. we hear time and again that we all thought IMO 2020 was a terrible headache coming up to us, but actually it's been a great dress rehearsal for decarbonisation. The actions that we've taken to manage IMO 2020 are the precursors of the actions that we'll have to take to manage the path to zero carbon.
I couldn't agree more. And I think for me, the big learning of IMO 2020 is we need to collaborate and talk far earlier, and we need to align things earlier. I mean, if I think back on IMO 2020, the biggest surprise for me was the last minute uptake of scrubbers, who showed me how opportunistic we approached as an industry this challenge. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of learnings on how we can do better. And well, if you compare IMO 2020 with the challenges ahead, it's a one small step of climbing the Kilimanjaro, right? It's we have a huge journey ahead of us. And I think there's a lot in value in co-creation, collaboration, and work together, and really see who owns what part of the complete value chain and who can contribute what to make sure we make this a success for the shipping industry.
Yes. Yes, and these monitors that you've produced out to us, they will be of great benefit, I'm sure, if people want to optimize and therefore manage their CII, their EEXI, but particularly their CII, which depends on optimizing the performance of the vessel at all points. So you can't do anything without, you can't manage any of this without the data points.
You are spot on. I mean, if you listen to insurers, there's this famous report from the Swedish club who clearly states that if you want to prevent engine failures or engine damages, you need to do proper monitoring and best in a digitalized and in a structured way. If you listen to both big engine manufacturers in the two-stroke space, WinGD and MAN, they are very clear that monitoring your engine is one of the key factors to have a reliable and well-maintained engine. MAN is even saying that 70% of the engine failures and can be predicted in the loops. I mean, for me, lubricants is the blood of the engine, and I can't emphasize enough that sampling and monitoring is a crucial part. And I know some people think sampling is old-fashioned. Well, I think there's no industry who invests more in technology than the health industry with all these X-rays and wonderful machines you have to check if you're healthy or not. But guess what happens if you go to the hospital? The first thing they take is a blood sample, right? Still. So, and I think it's very similar to engines. You need to understand what's going on, and taking a sample and analyze the loops is one. The other one, again, not all can be seen, especially the new challenges, thermal stress, new fuels, and newly composed fuels that can easily lead to deposits. And these deposits, unfortunately, you don't see them in the sample. You need to do visual inspections. Visual inspections are the key to make sure you understand what's going on in your engine in the future.
Yes.
If I look at the CII challenges, I think there are a number. Looking at the existing fleet, we roughly have 26,000 ships, big ships who are responsible for 80% of the CO2 emissions, and we have another roughly 70,000 smaller ships who are responsible for the rest. So if you focus on the big ones, we for sure talk about two-stroke engines. There are two options. I mean, if you talk about CII, I leave the EEXI options away for a moment because they are not impacting loops immediately. Yeah, you can use drop-in fuels like biofuels. You start changing the composition of your fuels, and this will have an impact on your engine. And you better monitor it, and you better see if it creates deposits, yes or no. Again, a proper loop monitoring system is key and important and can help you to detect this in well in advance. The second option, and I think a lot of customers have no other possibility than using that, is we called it slow steaming. I learned the new word is eco steaming now. You reduce your speed, right?
Yeah.
No big secrets and no magic around that. What you need to know is that traditionally these two-stroke engines are designed for 80, 85, 90% load. If you go down to 65%, and we saw that in the past where we slow steamed due to high fuel cost, this has an impact on your engine. Something happens in the combustion chamber, something happens on your cylinder, and something happens on your piston rings.
So the combustion is less complete, less clean?
Exactly. Less complete, less clean. You see deposits on the piston crown, piston ring deposits. The likelihood your engine might get dirtier is high, and you can easily adjust. You can easily take appropriate measures. You can adjust the feed rate in whatever direction is needed. Cool. You can swap between oils. You might need a higher BN, a lower BN. You need to change the oil. There's plenty of measures you can take depending your engine type, and your the load and the fuel you take. But you can only do that if you have, first of all, a proper trend line, knowing how good looks like, yeah. And then see how the trend line deviates, and then take the right decisions in collaboration with your OEM and more than happy in collaboration with my teams.
I mean, we're asking ship owners and operators to be ever more sophisticated in handling ever more complex machinery, aren't we? With, you know, dual fuel and now tri-fuel engines handling hydrocarbon-based and hydrogen-based fuels at the same time on the same vessel with different characteristics.
Absolutely.
It's not something we'd ask a motorist to do.
No. And I think to be fair to the crews on board, at some point we will overwhelm them. And we call it a mosaic. We call it the future in Shell. We call it a mosaic of fuel and technology options, right? And every fuel engine combination has its very own challenges. I know that OEMs are working hard to make the engines more efficient, which is absolutely the right step to do. But it means that the old good rules are not the same anymore. And a lot of crews, and let me be honest, might be overwhelmed because it's one part of millions of things they need to manage, right? So the more we can help them from the shore side, the more we can help them get the data right and really point them to the right direction and just simply tell them, look, this is what is happening in your engine and this is what we suggest to do, obviously makes life of people on board easier and safer. And I think this is the overarching thing we try to achieve.
Mm. Because crew training is such an important in all of this, isn't it? In fact, at the forthcoming Ship.Energy Summit that we're hosting in Valencia in Spain in April, we've got, a whole panel discussion about how we train crews to manage the multi-fuel future. If the crews aren't kept completely up to speed with all these technological developments, and if they can't consume the changes to the processes, and if they can't internalize those, then we're all in real trouble, aren't we?
Yeah, of course we are. And looking at all the options we have in future, I mean, this every fuel requires a totally different technology. The ship design might be the same, but piping and tanks are different. I think there's a huge complexity that is coming in direction of the shipping industry and the crews on board. And we as lubricant supplier, we control a small, tiny part of it. But what I can guarantee you is, for this small, tiny part, we do whatever we can in terms of producing the right lubricants and developing the right lubricants and make sure we have the right lubrication solution for our customers and support them with the services. And for me, the combination of the two is what makes what fascinates and where all my passion is going in. Mm. But as well is where I strongly believe we can play our part in the whole journey.
Yes, I think so. And I your point about lubes having to respond to lots of different fuels and different engines, different handling characteristics and so on in the ship as well as in the engine, of course, just points to this multi-fuel, multi-energy future. You know, we've got an idea of how much energy demand there is and how much that may grow. We have to meet that with something that's actually practicable, don't we? And, you know, at the moment, we're talking about all manner of different new fuels, you know, methanol, ammonia, hydrogen, fairy dust, spaghetti bolognese, whatever it might be. Do you have a personal view, or is there a company policy which of these fuels you would back?
Yes, and what we believe is that there is not one single solution, and there will be a fuel mix out there. because all the fuels, the existing ones and the new ones, all have their advantages and disadvantages. All of them have different behaviors. All of them have different requirements. Some of them are a bit more easier to apply to combustion engines. Some of them are more toxic. Some of them are greener. Some of them are more expensive. So what we believe, and we call it a mosaic, and I think it's a wonderful description, we will see a mosaic of fuels, and we will see engine designs and engine retrofits trying to cope and being flexible with this mosaic and being highly efficient. And this mosaic need to be managed. So that's what I mean by saying there's a complexity coming to the shipping industry, which I think can't be underestimated. And I say it again, whatever we can do in the small field I'm covering with lubrication and what happens in the engine itself to manage this complexity and loop monitor, and this monitoring tool for me is the tool for two-stroke engines. Mm-hmm. We are happy to do, and we are happy to push for it. And we have a long roadmap of future developments, but we are super proud of what we already have today. And yep. I think we can safely consider this as being state of the art. I mean, even OEMs still work at some point with Excel spreadsheets if they do engine inspections. And a lot of people are sending millions of data points. But the data points by its own are not adding any value if you don't translate them into an action that can be actioned on a ship by a chief engineer, right?
Yeah, quite so, yes. You know, I'm forever telling my students and my staff over the years that, you know, one data point is a report, two data points for analysis, but what you really want are actionable insights.
Exactly. And that's all what we drive for and what we try to achieve. Seeing the journey we have ahead.
Yeah. Really, it is about what we can do today, isn't it? You know, 2030 feels like a long time away, but it isn't.
It is not.
And, you know, there's a lot of attention paid to all these alternative fuels, the hydrogen-based fuels, the electrical-based energy source. You know, we have a CII that's coming in soon. We've got the entry of shipping into the European Emission Trading Scheme from next year. We need to be able to take actions today, don't we?
Absolutely. And again, if you stay with CII, it's how you use the infrastructure, your ship you have. And it's either you change the way you speed and the way you maneuver with your vessels. And there again, if eco steaming is the way to go, be careful. This is not how your engine has traditionally been designed for in many cases. There are other things that can be done, which is smarter port usage or making sure your waiting times gets lower. And there's plenty of softwares out there, but this is not necessarily my area of expertise. Then there are technologies that can help you to use your vessel smarter, which is not necessarily my expertise as well. So there are a lot of things you can do. And obviously then you can start dropping biofuels and other fuels into the traditional fuel, which has an impact. We saw this already in the old time. The fuel has a big impact on how your engine look like if you don't manage this carefully. And I think all already using what we have at hand and try to reduce carbon intensity is already not easy and needs care and needs a deep look into your engine, and you need to understand what happens. Not talking about all the future fuels and the future mixes and the new engines coming on stream.
Yeah.
And then simply on a dual fuel engine, it sounds theoretically nice, but switching from an LNG to a fuel, to a heavy fuel or a low sulfur fuel, needs care, need to be understood. You need to adjust your feed rate eventually. You need to see what happens to your engine, and you need to see what happens on deposits and your BN and your wear, right?
Mm-hmm. Quite so. Well, Marcus, it's been fascinating to hear about this from you, and you know, there's plenty for food for thought there. Great coming from a chef. If people want to find out more from you, is there a website they can go to, or is there an email address they can write to get more information? We can invite people to approach you via ship.energy, but if people want to get in touch.
Absolutely. I'm sure if they get in touch with you, you forward my details. If not, Shell Marine has a webpage. We have a technical part on the webpage where you can gather information. And if you want to send me an email, I mean, it's Marcus, with C, Sher, S-C-H-A-E-R-E-R, at shell.com.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. And I hope you won't be inundated.
Me too. I won't.
But sensible inquiries only, please. No, don't ask him for recipes.
Why not? Why not? I exchange recipes. I send one if I get one.
Okay, very good. Now that is an offer cannot be refused. So, Marcus Scherer, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your time and expertise with us. And to all of you out there in podcast land, thanks for tuning in. And look forward to speaking to you again soon on another edition of the Ship.Energy podcast. Thanks. Bye for now.